You probably don't know this, but I used to live in the Pacific Northwest. I lived there for a year of high school, and then I spent my first 2 years of college in Tacoma, Washington. And what my friends and I used to do on the weekends, we used to go hiking in the mountains. We used to build snow caves in the winter. We did all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, one spring, my friends had an idea. They said, when we get back to school in August, let's climb Mount Rainier. Mount Rainier is 14,410 feet high, and it starts at sea level. So it actually rises that much. Well, in the summers, I was back in Texas. That's where I met Cheryl, working at a Christian camp in East Texas. But we were training because it's a long hike up there. It's not a hard climb up to Mount Rainier, to the peak, but it takes a long time. So we got there, we were ready, and we camped at Camp Muir, which is right at the base camp before you make your last assault. And about 3 in the morning, we woke up, and we start walking. Hour after hour, it was climb, climb, climb. For hours, all I could see was the rock right in front of me. And my friends who were from there, they said, "Now, Mike, don't turn around. Whatever you do, just don't turn around." And I'm like, "Don't tell me what to do. I can turn around if I want to turn around." Well, we took a break, and they said, "Now, Mike, we're just going to stop here, but don't turn around." I said, "Forget that." I turn around, and I saw that we were about at 11,000 feet. And I began to get vertigo. And I got real dizzy. And I realized what it was that I was doing. I'm climbing this mountain. Now, the end of the story is that we made it to about 1,000 feet from the summit and got blown off by a storm. And it's like, oh my goodness, so close. We never made it. Our scripture today is kind of like that. It doesn't involve a mountain, but it involves doing something and then realizing what it is you're actually doing. The disciples earlier in this day could not have had a worse experience. They probably weren't in a very good mood when they were out on that boat. Now, the day started out wonderfully. If you look at the passage before the one David read to us, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. It was a miracle. These disciples couldn't believe what had just happened. It was a day that it was unlike any day they ever had in their lives. They had just seen something that they never dreamed that they could see, and they were part of it, feeding 5,000 people. Imagine if we were there, if we were one of these disciples. I know what I would have done. "Jesus, this is great. We need to set up a ministry base camp right here. This is where our momentum is. We have this movement now that's starting. Jesus, let's just set up a base camp here. This is great PR for us." Or Jesus could have sent his disciples out to evangelize the people. I mean, they had gathered and they had heard Jesus preaching and teaching, and they were hungry, so this miracle happened and they all ate. "Jesus, now that their stomachs are full, they'll really listen to what you have to say now because you took care of them. We can have all these new disciples now." That's not what Jesus did. Or the writer in me would have said, "Jesus, I'll be right back. I'm going to draft a press release to send to the Jerusalem Times. Everybody has to know what you've just done." Jesus didn't do any of that stuff that seems to make so much sense to us. So what does Jesus do? He just leaves. He goes off to pray by himself. And what does he make his disciples do? Go get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. Well, that didn't make sense. It was the end of the day. You don't go out on the water at the end of the day. You go out on the water early in the day. Jesus, you send us out there on the other side of the lake. No one has heard about what you just did. No one, we have no momentum over there. Our ministry momentum is right here. Jesus says, go to the other side. Just go out there. So while Jesus, get this, while he is safely praying on the shore, he sends his disciples out in a little boat at night, and a storm's brewing. They didn't have GPS on their boats like we do now. They didn't have lights, because any torches they would have could cause a fire on the boat, and then they're really in trouble. It was dark, and a storm's brewing. Anybody ever watch that show, The Deadliest Catch? I love that show. I'll admit it. I even had some email communication with one of the captains on that show. He even sent me a t-shirt. I have a Cornelia Marie Crew t-shirt. But what I love about that show is that here are these guys out there in the middle of the Bering Sea in winter. In the middle sometimes of a winter hurricane. And they willingly go out there. They know that's what's going to happen to them. Jesus sends his disciples out on this sea knowing what is going to happen. His disciples had no idea what was happening. So here we have the disciples in the middle of the night. They're wet. They're tired. They're scared to death. They're frustrated. And their imaginations were getting the best of them. One of them said, guys, I think I'm losing it. I think I just saw Jesus out there on the water. I mean, my goodness, what I'm seeing things. So Jesus even announces himself to them. But notice that the text says that Peter still wasn't sure that it was Jesus. He says, Lord, if it's really you, let me come out there. Notice Peter doesn't say, Lord, it's you. He says, if. Wasn't quite sure. Has that thought ever gone through your mind? Lord, is it really you working in my life? Is it really you? Lord, if it is really you, show me a sign. Do something so that I know that it's you. Maybe God will work in an unexpected, mighty way in your life. And we say, can this really be from God? Or we say, you know, things are just working out too easily. Everything's fallen into place. This can't be from God. This has to be a temptation. I've even thought those thoughts before. This is too good to be true. How can everything just line up so beautifully? Well, duh, maybe it's God lining things up so beautifully. I think we're hard on Peter here, though. Notice that it was only Peter who had the faith to step out of the boat. We have to give him credit for that, even though he wasn't quite sure what was going on. So Peter's out there walking on the water. I'd love to see the expression on his face. And he's doing great until one thing happens. He realized what it was he was doing. I'm walking on a lake in a storm in the middle of the night. And he starts to sink. And as he's sinking, his response changes from, if it's you, Lord, to save me, Lord. See, it's easier, isn't it, to have faith when we're in trouble than when we're not in trouble. When things are going great in our lives, It's difficult to still rely on God because we rely on the things that are going great in our lives. But when we're in trouble, we have nowhere else to turn. And so we easily cry out to God. So what does Jesus do? He reaches out his hand, grabs him. And poor Peter, Jesus chews him out. Where's your faith? Why did you doubt me? Now, if I were the one who had stepped out of the boat at night in the middle of the storm, because I had faith that maybe that was Jesus out there, and I start sinking, and Jesus picked me back up, and I'm standing on top of the water again, and Jesus chews me out, I probably would have said something like this. What do you mean, where's my faith? You see, those 11 guys, they're still in the boat. I'm the one who stepped out here. Quit chewing me out. Give me some credit, Jesus. But thankfully, I was not one of the disciples. So the two of them get in the boat, and the wind stops, and everything's calm. Isn't this an amazing account? An amazing event in the life of Peter and the other disciples. I think this passage of Scripture is a passage of extremes. It deals with the highs and lows of life and ministry. It talks about faith and doubt, togetherness and isolation. It kind of sounds like our daily lives, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we can experience highs and lows on the same day. Something great happens, and then the phone rings, and then everything changes. And in the midst of those highs and lows, where's our faith? Sometimes the highs and lows and stepping out in faith is not just about ourselves. It's a reflection of what it means to be a church, I think. Sometimes as a church, we try to do great things for God, but sometimes we feel like we're in a small boat in a storm in the middle of the night. So as a church, are we asking Jesus to let us come onto the water with him, or are we staying in the boat hoping that the waves will die down eventually? I think that's where a lot of us are. Oh, this is a rocky time. If we just wait this out, everything's going to be fine. Rather than, this is a raging sea, let's do something really bold and let's step out of the boat. Which requires more faith? If we as a church decide to do something and get out of the boat and attempt something bold for God, that's all great stuff. But if we do those things, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, don't we? Peter's like, I'm walking on the water. Look at me. He starts to sink. I pray that as a congregation, we never fully realize what it is we're doing. Because our eyes are on Jesus. And the miracles happen all around us. And instead of saying, look at what we're doing, we don't know that our eyes are on Jesus. Now, I don't think Hebrews 12:2 is about Peter and Jesus walking on the water. But listen to what it says. Keep your eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. See, it takes faith for us to make bold moves for Christ. We may choose to do something as a congregation, I don't know what it might be, that it might seem impossible. Walk on water? That's impossible. Yet we're reading about Peter doing it until he thought to himself that walking on water was impossible. You know, I wonder if churches aren't as faithful as we could be. Because we're too busy analyzing what it is we're doing. I mean, we serve a supernatural God What does that word mean, supernatural? It means, beyond nature. That's who the essence of God is. He's not bound to nature. So we take this supernatural God, this supernatural ministry that we have as a church. And lots of churches do this, and we try to analyze it with human measurements. Now, you all know, I've shared this or actually confessed this, I'm all about data and charts and graphs. I get excited about that stuff. But having that information is one thing. But it takes faith to know what to do with that information. You can still have your charts, your graphs, your data, your statistics. But the faith comes in when you look at it and say, well, the chart says no. But we can say, but God might be saying yes. Because our God is not bound to data. Boy, did I just say that? Ooh. See, a life with Christ involves risk. We know the risk that Christians around the world today are taking, don't we? They're being tortured because of their faith in Christ. What risks do we take for our faith in the United States? Our reputations, our friendships. Do we even know how to take a risk for Jesus? It can be scary, though, when we think about taking a risk for Christ. Yet in this scripture, when the disciples experienced fear, the text makes sure that we know that Jesus didn't waste any time comforting them. He said, Jesus does not want us to have fear in our lives. He wants us to have faith and trust. Now let's bring this home a little bit. As you think of your own life, in what ways does Jesus want you to step out of the boat? In your life, maybe it's a big change in your life. Maybe God wants you to release a fear, and that's stepping out of the boat. Maybe it's a call that God has on your life and you are scared to answer that call. Whatever it is, whether it's in our individual lives or for us as a church, let's never forget that it's safer to be walking on the water with Jesus than to be sitting in the boat. Some of you here this morning may be living in the boat where you think it's safest. Some of you may be leading ministry teams or committees in this church, and you've been trying to do it from the safety of the boat. Others of you may personally just be in the midst of a tumultuous storm in your life. Is Jesus calling you out of the boat? Is Jesus calling you to take a risk that seems impossible? Could Jesus be calling this church to step out onto the waters with Him? Listen to me. Regardless of the storms in your life, regardless of the uncertainties that you're facing, regardless of the tough issues that are facing this church, when Jesus calls us to come to Him, we go. Do I need to repeat that? When Jesus calls us, we go. No matter where it is, no matter how impossible it might seem, we go. Why? Because when Jesus calls us to Him, It's a safe place. Even if everyone around us says, that's the craziest thing you've ever thought of doing. Is Jesus calling you this morning? Is he calling you to step out of the boat that you think is so safe in your life?